Before we get to episode 122 of the I Can't See You podcast, I'd like to ask for your support of the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Go to icantseeyou.com/coffee and make a purchase over at the White Cane Coffee Company. That'll earn the Keystone Chapter a 10% commission. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 122 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode. And just a quick note, 22 has a significant meaning for me. Whenever I see it, I always think of my mom. My mom's phone number ended in 22 for many years, and she actually died at 10:22 in the evening, which her phone number, the last four digits were 10:22. We thought that was kind of funny. But on my phone, I use the 24-hour clock, so I don't mistakenly set an alarm for 7 p.m. as opposed to 7 a.m. So, of course, 10:22 at night would be 22:22. So I just always think of that. Jane's phone number also ends in 22, which kind of ties her to my mom even a little bit more. And as I've mentioned in the past, she and my mom are very similar people. And almost to the point that it's frightening. I mentioned before that my mom showed us a picture from when she was a little girl, like 3 or 4 years old. And first of all, I was surprised they had cameras back then. But after I gave her a little razzing of that, you know, when we looked at the picture, it could have been Jane. I mean, the two of them looked so similar as little girls. So it's just kind of funny. So 22 has that significance. Whenever I see it, I always think of my mom. So this one is for my mom for no other reason other than the number of the episode. So I have a few things to talk about today. And first of all, before I get into the meaty stuff, not that any of it's meaty, of course, an update on Ziggy. He got his stitches out on Tuesday, and things all seem good with him. He's back to his whole, complete, natural self, which is jumping up on everything, trying to eat everything. In fact, we brought him back from the vet on Tuesday afternoon, and within 10 minutes, he was already into something that was just unreal. I made lunch, and I think I had a protein bar. I wasn't really making lunch, but I always have tea when I have lunch. So I had a teacup, and it's a 24-ounce cup, so I guess that's a mug, with three tea bags in it, because each tea bag is good for like 8 ounces, right? So I put that in the immediate center of the island where I pour the tea. And right next to it, I had a 32-ounce pitcher that I was going to make iced tea with as well. So I had them next to one another. Now, the iced tea bag doesn't have strings on it, so that you just drop into the pitcher, and it's a measuring cup, not really a pitcher. So they're sitting next to one another, and I at some point walked over and checked Ziggy's water. He was drinking a lot because he was in the car, and the place, the vet where he had the surgery, was about a half an hour away. So when we got back, of course, he was loading up on the water because he was so hot from the car ride, which he hates the car, by the way, and it's sad to me, and I hope he outgrows that, because, you know, we have plans. Obviously, we want to go and visit Jane and so forth, you know, once she's in New York. And, you know, we're going to have to end up either boarding him or having somebody come over to check on him while we're up there when she goes back to the office. So he's drinking, and I thought, you know, while I'm waiting for this tea to boil, this water to boil, I'll check his water. And at this point, he was not in the kitchen. So I go over and I get his water, and I say something like, oh, you need some water, Ziggy. And as I put his bowl down on the counter to turn the water on, I hear him jump up and grab something. And I immediately go to look at my cup, because that was the only thing that he could have gotten up there. There was nothing else up there. And sure enough, he had all three tea bags in his mouth. And so I am freaking out, and I get, you know, Jacob and Liz come in. Jane was upstairs working. Jacob and Liz come in, and we corner him, and we get the tea bags out. And, you know, one of the bags had ripped open. So I'm sure he ate some. And black tea is bad for dogs. It's toxic to dogs. So, you know, not good for him. So that was, like I said, within 10 minutes of being home. Maybe 15. Later that night, our bathroom door upstairs had blown open because we had the window open up there and downstairs in the living room and kitchen. So at some point, the door, which we don't close tightly, but we close to the point where he can't open it, the dog, Ziggy. Well, it must have blown open enough so he could get in there. And when we hear him go in there, we're all downstairs in the living room, figuring that there's nothing for him to get in there. Nothing for him to, you know, no way of getting in any of the rooms upstairs because all the doors are closed either tightly because they open in, or the bathroom closed loosely because it opens out. Well, he was in the bathroom, so we rush upstairs, and he is eating out of the trash can like it's a trough. So I'm just hoping that he didn't eat. I use, as I mentioned before, Restasis, which come in these little individual droppers where you have to rip the top off. You use it. It's a one-time use. You know, I put the drops in both eyes and I throw it out. I don't typically take them upstairs, but sometimes at night I will grab them on the way up. And before I use the bathroom, I will put the drops in and then throw the dropper, the eyedropper, into the trash there. I try not to because I know that there's a chance he could get to it. I also use, if you've ever seen those toothpicks that have a little bit of dental floss on them, I use those and I will sometimes throw them out in there because I have them either in a pocket, you know, a breast pocket of my shirt or a pocket of my pants, and I don't want them to fall out onto the floor without me knowing because, you know, once something falls on the floor for me, especially something small like that, I'll never see it. I'll never find it. So, you know, I try not to throw it out there, but it's better to be in the trash than fall out on the floor somewhere, and maybe I wouldn't even notice that it had fallen out. So we were worried about that. It's a couple days later now. Seems like everything's okay, although Liz said she noticed when Ziggy had gone to the bathroom yesterday, she noticed some tissues when he had gone. So hopefully, you know, he really hasn't learned. And like I said, he hates the car. So you'd think, if anything, just to avoid the car ride. I mean, he does like going and does like being with the people when he's there. So that's the update on him. And hopefully we're going to get him into training now that the cone of shame is off. And hopefully we can break him of the habit of up on the counter. I mean, it is very cute when he's not getting into something. I actually coined the phrase golden menace when he would jump up with the cone on, because while he couldn't reach a lot of things, because the cone extended, you know, in front of his head, if he jumped up and there might have been a dish or whatever on the counter, you know, would push the dish into something. He pushed stuff into the sink and whatnot. But, So as I've said before, we have a million names for him. And one day I'll go through and I'll put them up on the, on one of the show notes pages. So that's the Ziggy update. And, you know, like I said, hopefully the training will work and, we'll break him of some of these not so good habits. Another thing I wanted to touch on briefly was, as I've mentioned in the past, I don't go out too often, especially now with the dog. If Jane is working and Liz has to run to the store, rather than put Ziggy into his cage, I will just stay home because Jane, he can't roam, obviously, at this point. He can't roam freely while Jane is at work because she can't pay attention to him and her work. So we had gone to BJ's, I guess over the weekend, and we needed a few things. And I wasn't initially going to go because Jane was doing some things. And then she said, "Aren't you going to go?" And I said, "Well, if you're going to be down here, I'll go." And so I went, and I kind of have to sneak out of the house because he gets a little excited when he sees me putting my mask on, and you can tell he's a little nervous. And, you know, he's used to Liz leaving because Liz leaves every morning. And he gets very excited every afternoon when Liz comes home, but I'm usually here with him. So I try to sneak out the back door or go out while he's in the backyard. I go out the side door and wait by the car and things like that. So I decided to go with Liz, And we get to BJ's, and it, of course, since it's the weekend, it's pretty crowded. And as I've mentioned previously, when a store is crowded, it makes it very stressful for me because even prior to COVID, because I don't want to be in people's way. I don't want to get run into by people and whatnot. And now, of course, with COVID, I certainly don't want to, have somebody touch me, run into me, move me physically, so forth. And so when we got there, I said to Liz, well, maybe I'll wait in the car. She's like, no, it'll be okay. Come on in. It's a big store. And I said, okay. I think she was sorry she did that, because when we go, two of the things we needed were toilet paper and paper towels. And I don't know how crazy you are about pricing something out. I price the thing by the sheet. So if they have, we use Bounty paper towels, for example, and we use the Selecta-size, fortunately, because Ziggy, we know, can pass one of those, but two of them might be trouble. So when we get to the paper towels, Liz breathed a sigh of relief that they only had one size, one package of Selecta-size. And I don't remember what the count was on the roll. I want to say it was 148. Because they on the package, they have all sorts of, 30 times the normal rolls or something like that. Just all sorts of, well, what is a normal roll? Because they have like five different size rolls of the Selecta-size. Fortunately, that day for us, BJ's only had the one. But then we got to the toilet paper and we used Charmin, and they had two different sizes. One was $39, one was $29, $39.99, $29.99. And so then we had to figure out, okay, how many rolls and how many sheets per roll? And Liz, of course, has to read all this to me because it's just faster than me finding the shelf tag and and doing this. So when we did the math, and there was a $4 off coupon either one, so percentage-wise, obviously, the $4 off the $29.99 one was greater than the $39.99 one. But the price per sheet was still cheaper, of course, on the one that was, priced at $39.99. And when I say cheaper, it was by, it was less than a quarter of a cent difference. I think a sheet of the kind we ended up with, the $39.99 one, I think worked out to 0.34 cents per sheet. So just slightly more than a third of a penny for a sheet of toilet paper. And the one on the $29.99 one was 0.36 something. So again, it was less than a not even a quarter of a cent. So that's the difference. Obviously, we ended up with the $39.99 one minus the $4 coupon. So it said, and I said, are you glad you brought me in? And she's like, yeah, maybe you should have stayed in the car. So do you get that crazy with pricing? I mean, look, I want to spend as little as possible. It just didn't make sense to buy something that was more expensive. And I know it's not a lot, but, it was something. And so what did we save? What did we save by buying the bigger pack over the little one? I don't remember what it was. A couple bucks, I think it was. So it's just funny. And I said, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast next week. And she said, yeah, I figured. So the two things that I want to talk to today about... And one of them is just happening right now. And I'll get to that one first, because the other one is more eye-related than anything else. We are completely without any Verizon Fios services right now. It went down at some point this morning, and I'm recording this on Thursday, the 22nd of April, which, let me just interject... 22nd of April, today is marks a year since my friend Chris Dougherty died. And, it's been rough. I think about him, not every day, but I think about him a lot. And, I bring it up now because one day last week, his wife Claire had messaged me, and they're doing a memorial service on the 15th of May, which just happens to be the day after I get my second Moderna shot. So I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in going to that, but obviously I'll be going. And I was happy to get a, you know, get the notification. And I'm not sure if it's open to everyone or if they just sent out invitations. I'm not 100% sure. So looking forward to that. And, you know, in May. And of course, I'll let you know how that goes, especially after the shot. I don't know what kind of shape I'll be in. So the internet service went down, the TV went down, and the phone, which doesn't matter, went down. Again, I'm not sure why we still have the landline. You know, it's the same landline we've had, you know, since we lived in media. But of course, the internet service is the most important. And Liz had noticed an issue with the TV this morning when she was watching something. And when Jane was watching before she started work, we overnight we've been keeping, you know, that besides the TV, they have something called Music Choice in there. So we've been playing, you know, at night for the dog, you know, classical, light classical music. So, you know, it kind of numbs him to, like, our wooden floors in this house are very squeaky. So when you walk around on them, especially upstairs, you know, we thought, well, if the music's playing, maybe he won't notice it as much. And we don't have it on loud or anything. But and at some point, we're going to get another Amazon device for the living room so we could just play it on that, because I hate keeping the TV on all night. So, you know, when that got a little weird, Jane just shut the TV off, tried to put it on a different channel, and noticed there was an issue. So she just shut the TV off and then let it go. And that was around, I don't know, 8:30 or 8:45. And then sometime, I guess in the 11 o'clock hour, she, you know, we had no internet. And so we tried, you know, unplugging, plugging it back in. And then I ended up plugging the wrong, you know, unplugging and plugging the wrong thing back in. I unplugged the router, whereas I needed to unplug the main unit, which is right next to the router, on a you know, an audio rack stand in our living room. And that didn't help. So then, of course, I had to call and I spoke to Cheryl, who was very nice. But the problem is, we are not getting fixed until tomorrow. And so, of course, it's trouble for Jane, because everything she does, she has to do online. And some of the things that she has to get onto, she needs to be on her work computer, because, you know, there's, you know, of some of the, I don't know, not secure stuff, but, you know, some of the subscriptions they have, she can only access via that. And when the problem first came up, she tried to reboot her work computer, but then you need to get, there's supposed to be a password that gets sent, but of course, since her internet was down, that couldn't happen. And so she couldn't use her work computer. So fortunately, at least for the rest of the day, she can work on her own laptop using her phone as a hotspot. And of course, that's not the greatest answer either, because it's not the speediest of services and everything is taking her a lot longer. And if you're listening to this, that means I was able to upload this episode on Thursday, which I am very hopeful, using my phone as a hotspot down here in Studio B. And we're hopeful, but I was not very hopeful when I called, because, you know, the first thing you have to do, you have to try to do it via, you know, the automated system. And she's, you know, the automated voice is telling me, yes, I'm checking your line for trouble. No, I don't see any trouble after a long time. So I really thought there was an outage. I mean, you know, we've had the equipment for 6 months and 10 days or 12 days. So how could the equipment be bad already? And I know, you know, stuff goes bad and nothing is made as well as it used to be. Not that stuff that carried fiber optic information was around, you know, 20, 25 years ago. I don't know when it was developed, but certainly wasn't in houses, I don't think, back then. So I'm a little worried that, you know, and wondering what we can do in the future, especially because it's important for Jane to have internet access. You know, it's not that she can go on her phone and do it. So it'll be interesting to see. Verizon service can be a hit or miss. You know, the guy that installed the thing was, you know, just okay, and you know, wouldn't do anything that I had asked if we could move where he put the box and so forth. So, you know, and then of course, you know, having someone from the outside come into the house during COVID, which is something that even though Liz and Jacob are fully vaccinated, Jane and I are not, as I mentioned. You know, not until May 14th will we be fully vaccinated. And Jacob, I guess he got vaccinated, his second shot of Pfizer earlier this week. So he's not even, you know, in the clear yet, really. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. And it kind of ties in with the main part of what I wanted to talk about today. And I was watching the, I happened to turn on the TV and the Derek Chauvin closing arguments were going on. I was just captivated by it because it was almost like I was watching a presentation at a conference, you know, with the two, with the prosecutor and the defense attorney and the, you know, going to the video. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Why did the audio just cut out? And then I see, you know, I hear, you know, some yelling, and they were obviously showing the tape. And I guess you really can't call it tape anymore, right? They were showing the video. And, you know, the prosecutor just kept saying over and over again, as you probably know, believe your eyes. And that just struck a chord with me on a couple of levels. A few days to a week earlier, I was talking with one of my friends from the Keystone chapter, and she said, you know, something about believing her eyes. And we started talking about that. And I'm not sure I mentioned it previously. You know, there are times that I will get email, and I'll give you for example. I still get email about beauty products since, you know, we had the salon supplies and interiors. And one of the companies that sends me email still is a company called Brick McMahon. Brick is spelled B-R-I-C. And McMahon is M-C-M-A-N-N. But when I see it, when I'm going through my emails, I look and it looks to me, you know, upon first glance and before I zoom all the way in as much as I can while I'm still able to read it, it looks like it says Eric. I'm like, oh, who's this from? And it's not marked as spam. And then as I get it closer and closer and closer, I then, you know, see that it says Brick McMahon. And that happens a lot with the emails because I can't make the text any larger in mail in the that tells you, you know, the sender and the subject line. You can make it bigger within the email. You can make everything bigger. And then, of course, like I said, I zoom in on my Mac. I can zoom in. you know, and once I know that or think that it's not spam, you know, I can click it and then have it read to me what it is and then determine if I want to read the whole email or not, you know, before I get into the email. But I don't want to, if it's spam, I don't want to click on it for obvious reasons. I don't want to get a whole bunch of spam. And that happens over and over and over to me. You know, when I was a kid, talking about my mom earlier, my mom, we drank Diet Coke and occasionally liked Cherry Coke. Well, when Cherry Coke first came out, unlike today, and I don't know what the package looks like today, but for the longest time after they had switched away from their original packaging, the package of the Cherry Coke and the Diet Coke looked very similar. And it wasn't Diet Cherry Coke, it was just plain old Cherry Coke. So my mom occasionally would pick up one instead of the other. And I think we drank it in cans. I think she got it in cans. So long ago, thinking back to soda, I can't tell you, when the last time was that I had a full soda. Occasionally Liz and Jane will have a root beer float and I will drink the two sips of Stewart's root beer that's left in the bottle after they, you know, after they each have what they want. But, you know, as a kid, I drank so much soda. So I wonder, is my issue just my eyes, or did I inherit something like that from my mom? And it happens all the time when I'm watching the dog, for example, upstairs. I will go on YouTube on the TV. On the TV more so than my phone, because if I'm playing a video on the TV, there's a better chance that if they're doing something, I may be able to see it. Whereas on my phone, I definitely won't see it, and I just have to listen. You know, I just can't see it. So when I look, and I use the you know, we can get through it through the Fios TV box. You can get to YouTube, and I love that. Except for the fact that I can't read what the you know I have obviously the people who I subscribe to. You know, so I that's what I look to first. If I can't make out what's or who is in the picture, you know, I try to read what it is. And so that's frustrating to me. And it just makes me think, as I spend time with the dog up there and not being able to be down here, and hopefully over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know, that'll happen less. Of course, while Liz is home over summer break, you know, I'll have some more time in the office. And it's, but after these last few days of not having a lot of time down here and having, you know, believing in your eyes, believing what you see. You know, as I said to my friend, I never believe what I see because I just, you know, I just don't know for sure. And I remember even when I would walk around when my mom was living, you know, first in the independent living over at Maris Grove and then in the skilled nursing or assisted living, I guess it was, you know, I walk very quickly and, you know, just because I think it might be clear, it doesn't mean that there's not somebody that I'm missing. You know, it's, and, you know, depending on the time of year and depending on, you know, allergies and, you know, all sorts of other things, you know, my vision changes from day to day and it's always bad, but, you know, some days it's, you know, worse than others and some days it's good. You know, good for me, not, I mean, if you had vision like that, you'd be upset by it. So, you know, and we were talking about believing and I, another thing happened last night. I was watching the news and the person who was speaking, I thought the last name was Feat, F-E-A-T. Well, it turns out her last name was P-R-A-Y. And I said to, I said to Jane, because I rewound it because I wanted to see her first name and because I sit close to the TV, but I sit off to the right-hand side of the screen. So the, you know, of course the names are all the way to the left. So I wanted to see what her first name was because I thought, oh, Feat, you know, that man, there's a, you know, it'd be funny if you had a pretty cool first name to go along with Feat. And of course, you know, because I thought it was F-E-A-T, the first thing that popped into my head was Little, you know, the band, Southern band, a couple of my friends really like. And when I rewound it, Jane said, her last name isn't Feat, it's Pray, P-R-A-Y. And I said, oh, also a very cool name to have. I wonder what the first, you know, and she said, the first name is Lisa. I'm like, that's, you know. But she's like, how could you think there's none of the letters you thought were there are there? I said, well, I said, is it P-R-E-Y or P-R-A-Y? And she said, it's P-R-A-Y. And I said, well, the A is in the right spot. Because I was, and she said, you said Feat. And I said, F-E-A-T. And she said, oh. So how I thought that was the one thing when it was the other. And thinking about the prosecutor, again, going back to the Chauvin trial, I then started thinking, you know, long after I had watched that day, and even maybe after the verdict came out, you know, I said to Liz, I said, you know, that he kept saying, believe your eyes. But of course, the symbol for justice is the person who's got the blindfold on. You know, justice is supposed to be blind. But if you're blind, And if there were a juror on there who was blind, what would they have, how would they have known what's happening? Again, because it's not described, and I kind of think it was funny that, you know, showing the, you know, the showing of the video on the different channels, you know, they didn't bleep out any of the bad words. And of course, there were a lot of them. But I started to wonder if I were on that, if I could be, I don't want to say lucky enough to get on a jury like that. How would I have been able to do that? Or how would any blind person have been able to do that and not be a cause for, you know, if you vote again, so there's 12 people. What if, because I couldn't see the video, would I have voted differently? Because you can't go to the other person and say, hey, what happened? You know, they might have said, oh man, that guy was doing this, that, and the other. And maybe it happened and maybe it didn't, because you don't know. So would they have it described like TV shows are described? And I have always wanted to serve on a jury, and I'm not sure if I had mentioned this before. I was selected for jury duty a few years ago, and I went, and when I got there, you know, Liz walked me in. The lady said, okay, here, fill out these forms, and, you know, just wait over there and we'll call you. And Liz said, well, you know, you can see he's blind. He can't see to fill out these forms. You know, do you have somebody who can help him? And she's like, oh no, you can help him though. And Liz is like, I have to go to work. I'm just dropping him off. Oh, then you're excused. And, you know, at the time I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, wow, this would, you know, I'd finally be able to do something. You know, get out of the house, interact with other people. But then how would that affect the outcome of a trial? Again, could be for or against the defense, depending on what evidence was shown. Of course, you know, they're not going to allow you to handle evidence. And if it's letters or video, and the video is not described by an impartial person, how would that affect? And would that be grounds for, you know, either a mistrial or, you know, something on down the line, appeal, depending on which way it went? You know, again, because I know a lot of blind folks who, you know, have plenty of time, you know, to sit on a jury. And if justice is blind and you got blind people on there, then of course it is. But how would that affect the outcome? And how would that have affected the outcome of the trial in Minnesota? And, you know, and it just, you know, it just really made me think again. First, when he first said it, and he said, like I said, he said it, as you know, he said it over and over and over again. You know, it made me think of my conversation with my friend. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, wait a minute, how would that affect being on a jury and, you know, then being able to have enough information to be able to, you know, come to a decision on, you know, guilty, not guilty. And it just made me wonder. Again, you know, I don't know where you stand on how the video looked with, you know, with all that. It's just everything made me think about, you know, wait a minute, justice is blind, and, you know, how would a blind person react to that? And so, I don't know. So that is all I have for you this week for episode 122. Noticing when I was getting ready to record this that it was episode 122. With next week's episode, you know, obviously it'll be I Can't See You podcast 123. And so a lot of play there. And of course, you start thinking about the Jackson 5, I'm sure, if you're old like me. If you're not, maybe even know that song. But that's it for this week. I really appreciate listening to the I Can't See You podcast. I hope you're continuing to stay safe, wear a mask, wash your hands, especially if you haven't had the vaccine. Not sure why you need to if you've had the vaccine, but I'm not that smart to know. So thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.